So as we continue this series, Check Your Heart, today we're going to dive into anger. So my first question for you is, what makes you angry? And, you know, something comes to your mind and you start to think about it and you're probably getting a little hot right now just thinking about it. And I got to be honest, for me, there's a lot of things that really push my buttons. The majority of them have to do with my children. I have four children who constantly, I feel like they just do things to make me angry, to get a rise out of me, to make me react in my anger. For example, my son Davis likes to park his car in the middle of the driveway. I'm like, pull up or park back farther, but we got to get another car in there. I get so frustrated when I see it. Or there's my son Dane who likes to eat cereal at 2 a.m., and then leave the bowl beside the sink. So then when I get up in the morning and I go to the bowl, the cereal has now dried and become part of the bowl. And I just thinking about it gets me so angry. My youngest son, Daly, when he gives me tips on nutrition, when I'm in the middle of eating something very unhealthy and he proceeds to let me know that I should be more like him in my meal planning, and it gets me pretty fired up. But it's not just my kids. There's a lot of things else that get me angry. Another one is traffic, driving in traffic. Would anybody agree that things that happen while you're in your car are one of the most frustrating things? And there's a lot of things that make me mad, like when I pull up, when the lights turn green, and it's like, go, what are you doing? And I say these things in the car. But the number one thing that makes me so mad in traffic is this. When you're going somewhere like Dedham Plaza, if you're familiar, or into Target over here in Westwood, you're coming off of a main street, like a main highway, and you're coming into a parking lot area. And as you're pulling in, there's somebody who's supposed to stop here and someone who's supposed to stop here. This is not a three-way stop. These two are supposed to wait until all these cars come in so we don't get a backup out on the main street. And the fact I'm getting no response from you right now tells me you're those people. You have to stop. I don't have to stop. It says yield. And it says on the other side, it says oncoming traffic does not have to stop. You do. And so I pull in, sure enough, I know it's going to happen. And they pull across in front of me. And I'm like, I don't have to stop. What are you doing? You're supposed to. And they're just like, what? Because they have no idea. Like, you're making up your own traffic rules. You can't do that. But I just get so angry. And so there's things that make us all angry, right? Things that just make us. And I'm just going to be honest. Like, what I'm talking about today is probably, honestly, my biggest struggle. And so if you don't mind, if you don't struggle with anger at all, then I'm just going to stand up here and talk to myself for a while. But this is something I struggle with and something I continue to work on daily. But here's the good news is I didn't ask you the question, do you get angry? Because we all get angry, right? We all get angry. There's nothing you can do about it. That's an emotion inside of you. And as Christians, are we to walk around? And just, if you're a follower of Jesus, are you to walk around just happy all the time? Nothing ever makes me angry. I just walk around with a smile plastered on my face. People are hurting me, mistreating me. And it's just like, just happy, la, 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 all the time. No, that's psychotic and impossible, right? In fact, there's things in this world that should make us angry as believers. The mistreating of other people, human trafficking, racism, bullying, orphans left alone, things like that should make us angry, and some should make us so angry we move to act. So there are things that should make us angry, and we're going to get angry about things that don't even have something to do with other people, that just have something to do with us. So the question is not, should I get angry? The question is, do you know how to treat your anger? Now, I have some good news, and some of you may not know this, but Jesus got angry. He wasn't an angry person. He didn't walk around angry all the time by no means. No, he was full of joy, and he was full of peace that comes from God, and he never sinned, But he did get angry. There's proof in the Bible that Jesus got angry. It's how he responded to his anger. Therefore, if Jesus got angry and he was sinless, us getting angry is not a sin. However, we could sin while we're angry. So I want to go to two examples today when Jesus got angry. There, and when he got angry, two very different things happened. And one of them only happened once, maybe twice, and the other one happened all the time. And so I want to figure out, why did he respond this way in the first scenario? Why did he respond this way in the second scenario? Both of these stories are found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, three of the four Gospels, and we're going to go to the one in Mark for today. So the first one, it says that on reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple courts and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. So he's reaching Jerusalem, and this is a very dangerous time for him because at this point, people are out to get him. He has Pharisees, religious people in the church, the leaders of the religion are out to get him. They want him taken care of, eliminated. But the Roman soldiers, the Roman people, they're also not too happy with him either. So he's coming into the city of Jerusalem, and so he's got people after him. And it's amazing what he goes right in and does. He entered the temple courts and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of money changers and the benches of those selling doves. Like we as Christians, we hear this like, yeah, baby, Jesus got mad. We can throw chairs. We can throw tables. See, he did it. He got mad. I've told you. We should throw stuff around. We're allowed to throw stuff around. All right, well, he goes on to say why Jesus got so angry and why he did this. And the next verse says, and he would not allow anyone to carry merchandise throughout the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, is it not written, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have turned it into a den of robbers. So Jesus is mad and angry because people who have money are using the things that they have to sell and rob people who probably don't have a lot of money. There's people being mistreated, and he goes off. And where is it happening? In his father's house, of all places. It'd be like if Chris came in here in the morning and some of us had set up shop out in the hallway. And like I'm selling my little wooden figurines that I've carved, right? And I'm selling them to people who don't have a lot, and I'm upping the price on them. Chris has every right to come in and flip my table over, take a swing at me. I'd block it, and he would counter, but we'd go at it a little bit. But yeah, like that's why Jesus was angry. So let's go to the next scenario in the book of Mark. It says, another time, Jesus went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them being the Pharisees, these religious leaders, they were there looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. The leaders of the religious people who are supposed to be loving to people were being in a way where I want to hurt this man and trap this man and cause this man pain and get rid of him. That's what was in their heart. And so it says that they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. There's a man with a hand that he's not been able to use his whole life. And their concern is not can he help this man, but is he going to do it on this day when we're supposed to worship? Because he better not do it today. That was their concern. So the next verse says, Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, stand up in front of everyone. And then Jesus asked them, which is lawful on the Sabbath? When he says ask them, he asked these Pharisees, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save a life or to kill? But they remained silent. Next verse says what happened. Jesus looked around at them after he asked them this question. They gave no answer, and Jesus looked at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. He was angry for them. It's like, oh. But all he did was he turned to the man. He never said another word to him. He turns around to the man. He says, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Two situations when Jesus became very angry, but two completely different responses. First time, he's flipping tables. He's throwing money around. And the second time, he doesn't say a word. He actually turns around and does good for somebody else. It's why? And so if we want to be like Jesus, if we want to follow Jesus, and I'm going to make an assumption that if you are a Christian, if you've made the decision to follow Jesus, then you want your life to look like him. And it's like the song we sing, I want to be like you. And so you want to resemble him in his actions. Well, sometimes he flipped tables, and other times he didn't. How do I know when to do which? How do I respond when I get angry? He acted differently in both ways. And I think if we go to fast forward to the Apostle Paul, who Paul came along after Jesus had been resurrected, and he was like this really religious guy, and he met Jesus and resurrected Jesus. He met him and he changed his life and he became the greatest Christian of all time, probably. His writings became most of the New Testament. And so many people have become followers because of Paul. But it was not easy for Paul. Paul was accused of things. Paul was called names. Paul was arrested. Paul was beaten. And he just took it. He just let it happen. So I think like Paul is going to teach us something very simple, two things about anger. And I think he has every right to tell us these things. So in the book of Ephesians, he wrote this: in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. There's two lessons here, the first line and the second line. Let's visit the first line first. In your anger, do not sin. Here's the good news. He didn't say, while you're sinning, try not to get too angry. Because he's like, sinning's not okay. But anger is okay because we can't help that. And again, as we said before, there's things that we should get angry about. And even if it's things we shouldn't get angry about, we can't always help it in that situation. But it's not don't get angry. It's don't sin in your anger. So I think the first thing we need to do with this is define what is sin. Sin is anything that works against what God is working for. I love this definition of sin. God has a plan. God has a way he wants things done. And if you're doing anything in disobedience to that, that is called sin, disobedience to God. Sometimes we call it missing the mark. So back to our two scenarios. Jesus flips tables over with the first one. Let's visit that one first. He's flipping tables over. He's telling people, get out of here. He's not letting them carry money around. He's throwing their money across the temple. And it's why? Why is Jesus allowed to do this in this moment? Why would we be allowed to do this? And it's because what the anger that Jesus had in that moment is called righteous anger. It's righteous anger. And how do you define righteous anger? Is Jesus saw somebody else, saw another group of people or somebody besides himself being mistreated. And he got fired up. It's like, people are coming in here into my father's house of all places, and you're robbing them. You have turned my father's house into a den of robbers. So that's when we flip tables. That's when we're allowed to get in there and fight, is if you see someone else being mistreated. If you see a group of people being mistreated, if you see people who can't help themselves being mistreated, and you start to get angry, that's righteous anger. This is why anger is not a sin, because there's things we should be angry about. When you see somebody being mistreated, you should be angry. It should bother you, and it should move you to act. Jesus wasn't trying to make a point by flipping the tables. He was trying to make a difference. Jesus didn't come to make a point. He came to change the world. He came to make a difference. And by stepping in for somebody who's being mistreated, that's what we can do. Now, the second situation, in the second situation, Jesus sees that there's somebody here who has a hand who needs a healing, and he knows these Pharisees. He knows their hearts, and he senses it, and he feels it, and their silence angers him because they can't even give him an answer back, and so he gets angry. But what does he do? In this situation, we just gave it away. Jesus processed his anger. He processed it. Pause, and he asked himself a question. And the question he asked himself was, why am I angry really? And this is a question we should ask ourselves. When we pause and we process, why am I angry really? Because what Jesus realized is if I turn and I start going off on these Pharisees, the only reason I'm doing that is because of what they're saying about me and what they're doing to me. And all through Jesus' ministry, time after time after time, people would ridicule him. They would say things about him. And if they were doing that, he wouldn't say a word. He would pause and he would process it. And he would say, is moving to act in this situation, is this good for what God has planned? Or does this go against what God wants to do? So is it righteous anger or is it selfish anger? For example, things that should make us angry, things that shouldn't. The reason that my son parking his car in the middle of the driveway makes me so angry is because the next morning I have to shuffle the cars around, right? When he should have to do that. But it inconveniences me. The cereal stuck on the bowl. Like, I have to let it soak now while I go do something else, and then I can scrub it. It inconveniences me. And so I get mad, and I get frustrated. The non-three-way stop, right? Like, that's not fair. You're supposed to stop. This is me. It's my turn. I'm coming off the main street. It's selfish anger. And so acting out on that is acting selfishly. If you're in the store, for example, and you see that loaf of bread, like I remember my grandparents, they had a certain kind of bread they had to have, right? Like that loaf. And that loaf of bread at home is out, and so they go to the store, and it's like a light shining off. There's only one left. Imagine you walk up and you're getting there and you get ready to grab it and somebody comes right in front of you and takes it and walks off. What should you do? Pause, process. Why am I angry really here? Because I don't get my bread, right? This is an inconvenience to me. But if I act on it and I start throwing other loaves of bread at this person and get it going on right here in the supermarket, like that goes against what God wants us to do. And it's hard. However, you get your other loaf of bread, you make a good choice there, you go up to the cash register and you see a brand new 14-year-old child there working and they're kind of messing things up. And you see somebody else, some bully, like yelling at him, saying, hey, can you get this right? Why you hire people like this in here? And you can see the pain in this 14-year-old's face and you start to get angry. That's righteous. Hey, calm down. She's doing the best she can. Let's give her a little grace, right? Like, don't yell at her. Give her some time. That's right. Like, step in there for somebody else who's being mistreated. Or let's say that I am pulling in on my non-three-way stop and somebody goes on through. This happened yesterday. I need a pause, and you know, putting this message together, it's like pause, process, and I turn my head. I'm just like, I'm not even gonna look at them. I'm just gonna let them go through. Because that does not bring about the righteous life that God desires out of me. And so I just let it go. However, if I pull on through and I look over on the sidewalk and there's an elderly person with some groceries and there's some teenagers or older kids mistreating that elderly person, and I start to get angry, I better put my car in park and get out and say, hey, no, back off. Knock that off. Help her pick up her groceries. That's righteous. I'm helping someone else who is being mistreated, stepping in and fighting for them. What about at work? Right? Like you're in a group with all your, you know, coworkers, and somebody says that backdoor comment about your performance or your ability to do things at work. Oh, right? Pause. Process. Would fighting right there because of what they said to you, is that going to be the way that God wants you to do things? No. I'm not saying you let people mistreat you, but I think the healthy thing to do in that situation is I'm going to process this. I'm going to calm down. And then maybe in an hour or so, I'm going to go say, hey, could we talk for a second? And you give them what I call a feedback sandwich. You say, look, I think a lot of you do so good at your job. That's the bread. And then, but I'm kind of insecure in my job. And so I just want to, what you said to me really kind of hurt my feelings. It made me feel more insecure. And then go back to, but I just, if you could help me and just maybe not say that in front of other people, I'd really appreciate it. That's a healthy conversation. Like that brings about, that makes people say, wow, you didn't freak out on me or go off on me. What if you hear some coworkers making racist remarks or making fun of a certain group of people and you start to get angry about it? That's righteous. Hey, can we not do that? Can we not make fun of that group of people, please? That's not right. So righteous anger is if someone else is being mistreated and it makes you angry as it should and you go to battle for them. Selfish anger is it can lead to sin if we sin, if we act on it in that moment the wrong way, if we don't pause, process. Jesus processed his anger. So that's lesson one, righteous anger versus selfish anger. Lesson two, the second part of Paul's verse says, don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. In other words, I think this is another way of saying this, is Paul is saying, process and deal with it today. Don't you go to bed tonight while you're still angry with your spouse, while you're still angry with your kids, while you're still angry with whatever it is that caused you anger, process it and take care of it now in a healthy, loving way. Act immediately by processing. That's how we look like Jesus. That's how we make God look good. And again, it makes people say, wow, that was different. Process and deal with it today. Now, the reason we want to do this is by processing. If you process your anger, then you avoid sinning angrily. If something happens to you, not to others, but if somebody does something that affects you and hurts you, pause and process and ask yourself, why am I angry right now? Is it selfish anger that I need to deal with in a healthy way? Or is it righteous anger? And I think another thing about not letting the sun go down on our hearts, the main reason is because things begin, if you let the sun go down and you just, something happens and you become angry about it and you don't process it, you don't do things in a healthy way to relieve that, that begins to fester and grow. And as the great theologian Yoda said, anger leads to hate and hate leads to suffering. My Yoda voice is so good, but I'm not going to share it with you this morning. Suffering, it leads to suffering. And I think there's people that are suffering because they've let the sun go down again and again and again with something they're angry about, and they haven't processed it the way they should and haven't made a healthy step forward to take care of it. What we need to do, according to our series this month, is we need to check our heart and we need to guard our heart. Check your heart for a couple things. Number one, do you get angry about things you should get angry about? If you see someone being mistreated, does it bother you? If it doesn't, like as a follower of Jesus and convicted and filled with the Holy Spirit, those things should bother us. So much to act as long as it's a safe situation, right? I'm not telling you if you see like somebody, like a gunfight, like you go get in the middle of it. No, don't. Dallas told me to. No, he didn't. All right. But do those things make you angry? That's the first thing to check your heart for. And the other thing to check your heart for is, have I let something fester? Have I let something grow? Am I suffering because I've let the sun go down too many times? Too many days have gone by, and I'm just, this anger has created something in me. It's almost, some of us has created a trauma, and then you're going to get triggered one day, and you're going to explode in a sinful way if you don't process it and deal with it. So check your heart, but also we need to guard our heart. We need to guard our heart from acting selfishly, from acting sinfully. In other words, don't allow yourself to be put into a situation where you know you're going to respond in selfish anger. This is where I am right now. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am a phenomenal basketball coach. Top shelf. I didn't know if you know this. I mean, in fact, when I used to coach high school basketball, and I was in Missouri at the time, have I shown you my plaque? Yes, right. Coach of the year, state coach of the year. We're going to be doing a series on humility soon. Don't worry. But I love to coach basketball, and I'm good at it. Which makes it the sweet spot, I think. If you're looking for the sweet spot in your life, you find something you're good at and something you're passionate about and go do it. And so I was doing this, and it was great, but now I don't coach high school anymore. And I told my wife last week, I was like, hey, I'm coaching my son's, I just finished coaching my son's fifth grade, 10-year-old basketball team. They just play once a week. We practice once a week, not a big deal. But I told my wife, like, you know, I'm thinking about getting back into high school coaching. Like, I'm thinking about finding a job, and, you know, because I'm good at it and I'm passionate about it. And she goes, So what did you say to me? She goes, I said, Don, this is, you know, I talk about the sweet spot of living, right? Like, I'm good at this and I'm passionate about it. And she's like, maybe. So I began to have some anger fester towards my wife because she did not support me in what I wanted to do. I was like, okay, you know, and everything was fine. But then it was actually that day, it was last Sunday evening, 4:00, my son's team had a game. And to end of the game, we're down by 2, and I'm trying to get my team to get the ball. And I'm like, get the ball. And this kid on the other team has the ball, and then he catches it, and then he goes like this and then starts dribbling. And I said, that's a travel. And the ref ignored me, and then he immediately calls a foul on one of my players. So I'm standing in front of the table where he comes to report the foul. And he says, coach, you need to move over. I said, I'm not moving over. That was not a foul, and you should have called that travel. And that coach has been over here all day, and you haven't said a word to him. My assistant coach like, Dallas, come on. And I look over at my wife, and her head's down. But that night, it hit me. And I said, that's why I can't coach anymore, isn't it? And she's like, I'm sorry. I know you love it. I know you're good at it. But you know you can't control your anger in those situations. I'm like, you're right. I've got to guard my heart by not putting myself in a position where I know I'm going to get angry selfishly and act out on somebody in selfish anger. And then that person finds out, oh, he speaks at the church. Oh, there they go. There's those Christians go. Acting a fool. And that doesn't make God look good. That's not what he wants. So we have to check our heart, but guard our heart from situations where we may respond in anger. When I pull into Target, I need to find another way to pull in that parking lot, right? Like there's got to be a back entrance somewhere. Go around. Don't put yourself in that situation. But then also, we just, again, to wrap up, we need to make sure we're asking this question. Why, when you get angry, why am I angry really? Let's be honest. I don't think that the majority of us, maybe you're the one who this does not affect, but I don't think the majority of us are up at night because we're angry about how people are being mistreated in the world. I mean, we may hear about it in a moment like, oh, that's awful, that's too bad. But it's not, it doesn't fester, it doesn't build up. Like, that's not the problem. What makes us angry is what happens to us and how it affects us. And so the majority of the time, we are responding in selfish anger. And here's the thing. Selfish anger only leads to sinful behavior. If you don't process it, pause and process it. I don't think there's anything that you can do about selfish anger, but you do want to make sure you don't act in that selfish anger. Don't allow yourself to sin and go against what God wants to do. So we need to check our heart, right? We need to check our heart. There's some of you that may say, you know what? I've let the sun go down too many times on this thing that happened to me. I'm so angry about it, and I need to talk to somebody today. I mean, today of all days, right? You got more, an extra hour of sunlight before the sun goes down, and I need to take care of this today. I need to call that person and say, hey, can we have a conversation? This is just festered up, and I am so upset. Or maybe there's no way that can happen. You need to talk to somebody else. Maybe tomorrow you set up a therapy session to talk about this. You got to get it out. It's festered so much. You've let it go on too long. Chris or I would love to sit and listen to you. And it would stay between us. And I would just love to let you get it out. There's no judgment because I get it. But we've let the sun, is there anything in here I've let the sun go down on too many times? So we need to check our heart. See, Jesus gave us the perfect example, right? I mean, yes, he flipped the tables, and man, we use that too much. Yeah, we should, Jesus flipped tables. We should be doing that about the sin in the world. No, Jesus was mad because of people being mistreated in the church of all places. Most of the time, Jesus didn't say a word. He was arrested for nothing, falsely accused, beaten again, unrecognizably, nailed to a cross, and never said a word. Actually, he did say a word. You know what he said? God, forgive them. They don't know. He took it to the next level. He prayed for those hurting him. He gave us the greatest example. Can you imagine if Jesus would have acted selfishly in that moment, said, I can't take this anymore, I'm done. He was God in the flesh. He had the power to do whatever he wanted. He could have avoided that situation. He could have got off the cross. He could have stopped the beatings. And sometimes I think we hear that, we're like, yeah, man, I wish you would. No. That is why there's a way to heaven and eternal life, is because what he did on that cross. That he took the punishment for us. Why? Because that was God's plan and what God wanted to do. And he said, I am not getting in the way of that. Instead, I'm not going to say a word. I'm going to take it. And because of that, he died. He was buried. But the good news is he came back to life, which we're going to celebrate in a few weeks on Easter. And he is alive today. And all you have to do is believe it. Because if you are here and you are not a believer and you are not a Christian, first of all, welcome. You are welcome here every day, every Sunday. I'd love to have lunch with you. Even if you say, I'm never going to believe. Still love you. Still want to have lunch with you. You're still welcome here. But if you want to say, like, today's the day. I can't do this on my own anymore. I don't believe you can take these steps. Because if you're not a believer, you don't care about the righteous life that God desires. Like, I don't care about that. But if you are, we need to begin to take those steps and focus on him and lean on him and really check our heart for what's in there. Process that anger and respond in a healthy way. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your example of so many things. Of when it's appropriate to act on our anger, when it's righteous, when it's good for other people, good for your glory and good for other people, but also the example of how to respond when people just say things to hurt us, which is not okay. It's not okay for us to be hurt. And there's people in here right now and online who have been hurt by words by other people, by people they respect and love and coworkers and family members, and they are in pain and they are angry from that. And Jesus, I pray right now through your Holy Spirit that you would just lift that burden from people, that they would be able to give that to you right now, or that maybe they would take that next step to begin to talk about it. What has caused anger when they check their heart? What has caused anger inside of them? What has caused this pain? And Jesus, ultimately, we thank you for the example that you set when you went to the cross. You never said a word. You just did it. Why? Because you knew that this was the plan that God desired. That day, the ultimate plan was done. The ultimate example of how to respond when others mistreat you was done. I'm going to pray for them. I'm not going to say another word. So we thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. I pray for the pain in this room. I pray for people in this room who are like me and struggle with anger. Help us to guard our hearts, to avoid those situations, and to do all we can to glorify you. And it's in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. I invite